That was Joey.
All right, let's go back again. Is that too loud? That's too loud. All right, so next Sunday we won't meet, but the Sunday after that will be my last Sunday with you until maybe the spring. And I thought that with questions from Darlene, and Darlene, I did tear up your check, that you don't have to worry about that. But anyway, I copied down your questions. Any of you have questions, that's what I want to do for you on what day will that be, the 26th? So December 26th, our last meeting until maybe the spring, I would like to deal with these questions. So I want you to come back. Let's talk about, does man have an immortal soul, or is his soul not, are our souls just mortal? That's what we're going to deal with on December the 26th. Are we immortal or just mortal? Is hell everlasting punishment or everlasting punishing? Is heaven in heaven or is it here on earth? I want to answer all those questions for you, and we'll do it on the 26th. The state of the dead, are people alive after they die? Are they cognizant? Are they aware? You want to know that. People do. That favorite aunt of yours, is she in heaven looking down? Watching maybe Big Joy someday when I pass away. You know, when your son was playing Little League Baseball, Faye can tell you this. We were watching that Goodlettsville team. And, of course, since my connection with you, every time your son would do something, I'd jump off the couch and I'd say, I know Big Joey Seals. I know him. I was proud. I was taking a little credit there, even though I didn't deserve any of it. I'd say, boy, look at that boy. I know Joey Seals. I've known him since he's ever been that tall, you know, one of those type things. But when I finally die, Big Joy, and you're making the announcements here at church, you'll say, you know, Con Hamlet crossed Jordan, you know, last night. And I guess that's okay. That beats saying Con Hamlet bought the ranch last night. Con Hamlet's taking a little subsoil siesta, you know, taking a little dirt nap. Next time he gets his mail, a groundhog will bring it to him. It does beat that. But what will be inaccurate is if you tell your grandson, you know, who's playing Little League Baseball, saying, I bet you old Con Hamlet's watching you playing Little League Baseball from heaven. I won't be watching you from heaven. I'll be dead, Big Joy. I won't be watching any Little League ball games. But anyway, on the 26th, not only will we talk about that, we'll use the Bible. How about that? We're going to use the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Lazarus, and we also will do the thief on the cross, and then the rich man and Lazarus, the man named Lazarus in the parable, to see if we can make some sense out of this so that we can walk out of here with answers. And maybe in this spring when I come back, if you'd like for me to do, give me some hard stuff. I can continue on the prophets, which I love. That's what I like to do. But if you would rather talk about other subjects, other men, if you'd rather, the book of Revelation, I'm not afraid of it. If you would like to give me some subject, put it on me. And let me work for you. But anyway, we'll let you decide that. You can go through Lynn, Cheryl, or Big Joy, and I'll try to do what I can for you. Now, I'm going to divide this class into two parts today. And I'm going to try not to bore you to death and get you out of here at 11 o'clock so you can go eat. False prophets and prophets. And that's what I would really like to do if in the spring when I come back. You never want to make fun of. I remember when I was a kid and I went to a little Church of Christ and it was us four and no more. Son, if you didn't belong to the Church of Christ, you might as well have got some asbestos underwear. You were going to the world's largest barbecue pit. And you know it. And Tom Jr. over here, who's a Presbyterian, he knows it even better. Those old-time Church of Christ views, you know, and we remember. It was us four. Well, anyway, I want to make sure that when I talk about these false prophets, I don't talk about the people who've been persuaded by them. Now, here's the order of business if we go as usual. Now, remember now, on the 26th, Darlene, we'll be talking about the state of the dead. What happens? Is hell everlasting punishing with people shrieking and screaming forever? Or are they burned up? We'll discuss it. We'll use the Bible. We won't refer to Con Hamlet's views. We'll go to the book of Malachi and talk about what Malachi said hell would be like. And he does. Let's take Old Testament scriptures and New Testament scriptures. Let's put them together. And you know what else we'll do? We'll find out what Socrates had to say. He didn't write anything down. Socrates never wrote anything. But he said a whole lot about the soul. Now, he influenced Plato, his student. And Plato writes a whole lot of things down. And then when Socrates was on trial, Plato hit the road, son. He went off to Egypt where his views on the soul increased even more. And then when he came back, he had a student named Aristotle. And although they were teacher-student, they didn't always get along. Aristotle broke away, started his own school. But anyway, this is the origin of a lot of things that I want to bring up to your attention on December the 26th. But now, false prophet time. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to talk about Joseph Smith. Remember what I said earlier? We're not going to pick on someone. You know, there's Mormons that... I got a classmate. His name is Hondo Goodrich. I used him as a character in one of the books I wrote. I love him to death. He's a Mormon elder. And naturally, I wouldn't give this speech if he's around because it hurt his feelings. And then I have a lot of Seventh-day Adventist friends. Ellen G. White. How many of y'all have ever heard of her? A good little girl. I mean, she was sweet. Darlene, you would love her to death. She wasn't very attractive now. I'll have to say that. She had some problems. But she was sweet. Oh, you know, she got hit in the face as a child with a rock, and it messed her up. But anyway, she was nice. If you walk up to Ellen G. White, you'd say, you know, you're just nice. And you'd hug her. But she was charismatic. And then there was Taze Russell, who ran a clothier in Pennsylvania. And later on, Judge Rutherford. These were Jehovah's Witnesses. And we'll talk about them and their belief, but we will not talk about their followers, which is fair game, don't you think? So today, let me start with Joseph Smith. He's up front and center. Joseph Smith was from New York, and he was not very well educated. He was a treasure seeker, and he had a little seer stone, and he had a hat, and he'd put it in there, and he'd say, I see treasure. And he was hired by a lot of people to find treasure. He was hired by this man, and I think it was before 1820. He was in his teenage years. And he told the man he saw a treasure. But he also said, now, I see an Indian feather too. And the guy said, well, where is it? And he said, I tell you, it's over there by this certain hill. So they go over there and they dig for the treasure. They don't find the treasure, but they find the feather. Isn't that kind of convenient? And that feather doesn't look like it's been there for a long time. You know? So I think that, you know, you kind of get the drift about Joseph Smith. He was taken to court over that incident. You can read. I want you to read about Joseph Smith for the next I mean, after this class, of course. But anyway, we got 10 more minutes to talk about him before we go to the real prophet, Jeremiah. I always want to contrast. Now, anyway, Joseph Smith claims that as he got older, he had visits from an angel named Moroni. And when you go to Salt Lake City, you'll sometimes see the angel with the big trumpet. That's Moroni or Moroni, various pronunciations. Moroni is the one that I prefer. And the angel appears to him, and he's in bed, and he's a teenage boy, 17 years old. Joseph Smith is not a bad-looking guy. He's not ugly. Well-built. About 6 feet tall, weighed about 152 pounds at that time. Had lake blue eyes, kind of straw-colored hair. Everybody thought he was handsome. Anyway, this angel appears to him and tells him that there is a hill called Camara Hill, which is in lower New York, not far from where he lived, and told him there was some treasure. There was some golden tablets there. And so he tells him that this is, on these tablets, tell the story of the lost tribes of Israel and how they came to the America. That's where the tribe of Dan went. And all. And, you know, I mean, that's so amazing that this is where the 10 lost tribes were. You remember in the book of John when Jesus tells his disciples that for a time he has to go and speak to the lost tribes of Israel? Of course, that particular scripture is used by Joseph Smith. Now, he goes to Camara Hill after 4 years. So he's 21. I think I told you he was 17 when the angel Moroni visited him. He goes to there and he digs up these plates. And they are written in what is known as Reformed Egyptian. And the only trouble is there's no such language. That's a problem. But anyway, he takes these tablets, these particular plates, and he's going to try to go home with them. And he claims that his house was 4 miles away. He runs, and he's got people after him because they've heard wind that he was looking for something. You know, people had. So this guy attacks him, and he pops him one, Joseph Smith does, and he keeps running, jumps over a log, which he claimed he sprained his thumb and his forefinger here, his index finger, And then he goes home, and he has, well, before he gets there, he's attacked again. And he is running these 4 miles. He's 6 feet tall. He weighs 148, 52, something like that. But there's a real problem there. He's got these tablets wrapped in a linen shirt. But George, these 6 by 8 pound plates, and they're about that deep. Nearly any metal expert will tell you they're going to run 200 pounds. Now, I get, you know, the Mormons themselves say, oh, no. It was only 70. They reduced it greatly because it does sound far-fetched. I want to ask any of you, besides Tom Jr., he's with me all the time. Have you ever picked up a 45-pound plate at a health club? Would you like to run 4 miles, Kenny? Just 45 pounds. Now imagine a guy, 152, carrying something weighs 200 in a shirt, and he's been chased. Now when he gets home, his index finger and his thumb are really sore. They're throbbing. He tells his mother and his father and others there that it was because, and they can see the outline of the plates. They touch them beneath this linen cover, and then he puts it in a box and tells them not to look or they'll be punished by the angel Moroni. I went to Cardwell, Missouri some years ago when I was doing another class for Nyla Sherrill. I don't know if y'all remember when I was doing a class for Nyla Sherrill or not, but anyway, I did. And I just wanted to think of like Joseph Smith. I wanted to think. So I sat there on that bench where I think of my novels for these Westerns. But I thought of Joseph Smith, and I got to thinking his thumb and his index finger. And then it dawned on me. What he did, Steve, is he went to a tinsmith, bought pieces of tin, and he cut the tin with shears and stacked them in there and passed them off. Now, he then translates these by looking into a hat. And here's a man named Oliver Cowdery. And Oliver is, some people claim he was a Church of Christ member or a Christian church member, one or the other. And Oliver is a former school teacher, and he's also seen an angel, he claimed, and he's there. And here is Joseph Smith looking into a hat. He's got a little stone in there, and he takes the what he calls the Urim and Thummim. Now, Urim and Thummim, actually, you ever seen these little ephods that a priest wears, and he's got these little stones? They're called Urim and Thummim. There's no N in Urim and Thummim if you want to learn how to spell it. But anyway, what they would do, Tom Jr., they would take these stones out, and they would put the ephod down, and then they would cast them, brother. And if the dark sides came up, you know, the sides that were beveled in, you know, if the more dark, that was a no. If the shiny sides facing you now came up, that was a yes. Now, any more than that becomes recondite or esoteric, so much so that I don't understand. But Joseph Smith hears these terms, and he comes up what he calls the Urim and Thummim glasses. They're a set of glasses or spectacles, not pince nez glasses. Or pince nez means something that fits on the end of your nose. But anyway, they have little stones in them like this, and he takes this, and I'm making his nose look kind of funny there. But anyway, this is Joseph Smith, and here he is, and he is looking inside of a hat, and he looks down there, and even though the tablets are not there, what happened to the tablets, you say? Well, he hit them. And when he is sitting there, it's like this. I got my head down here, and Big Joy is over here, and I say, Big Joy, here it is the way it is. And I start talking, and then I say, read it back to me, and you read it back to me, and I say, no, that's not right. He would see in his imagination these tablets he had hidden, that if he didn't say it just right, they would not disappear, the words. And if you said it right, and I don't know, I'm telling you this, and I only got a few more minutes on Joseph Smith, but I've seen some of the early translations. Here's the way he would translate it, Kelly. He would say, and I don't mean to be making fun of the man, although he played a very dangerous game. Think about how many people he misled. But in that translation, he would have, and the angel come a-running. It sounds like Jed Clampett. And he got a hold of them. A-H-O-L-T, got a hold of them. And it's just ridiculous. The Mormons have had to go back, and they've had to review and purview is not the right word. They've had to edit and re-edit over and over again. Anyway, Joseph Smith marries a woman named Emma Hale, and his father-in-law doesn't like him at all. He claims he's pretty lazy. He says, I want to see those plates. I can't show it to you. How come? They're out in the woods. I want to see them. I mean, you're not going to see them now. If you see them now, the angel will get you now. He didn't like that. So we'll stop there with Joseph Smith. Would you want part two next week? I mean, on the 26th?
Yeah, but his theory on blacks.
Yeah, here was his idea on that. Oh, well, I hadn't even gotten to that part yet. The Book of Mormon claims that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. They do. And there were some who were displeased with Elohim. You know, he was once a man, now he's God. They think God was once a man. And that he has lots of spiritual wives, because you know why? Because Mormon men are interested in women. Or they were in ancient times. Joseph Smith, you know, he ended up having 44 wives. But anyway, I digress. Real quickly now to let you know what's going on. I want to tell you all these names up here, and then let's go to Jeremiah, the true prophet. Remember on the 26th, though, what are we going to do? The hard stuff. We're going to take it. We're going to talk about Socrates. We're going to talk about Origen and Tertullian, these second century Christians, and how we got our ideas. Why you think as you do. Anyway, there was an ancient Jew named Lehi. And he lives in Jerusalem, and he lives there in 600 BC. The only thing is, about that time is, you know, the Babylonians are on their way, but he sees such a terrible, rotten place, Jerusalem. And he takes his sons, Nephi and Jared, who are beautiful, white-skinned kids. They got nice skin. They're white. And Laman and Lemuel are darker, and they're not as nice. Anyway, they get into barges. They're going to get away from the Babylonians and get away from the sin of Jerusalem. And they get and make a flotilla of barges that are awfully a lot like submarines. And they come to the New World. And here in the New World, remember, they're Israelites. Even though they have done DNA tests on these, on the American Indian, and their DNA shows they come from Asia rather than from the Middle East. But anyway, when they're here, after a period of time, Nephi and Jared, their group, fight against Laman and Lemuel, and they fight close to the Kamara Hill. Over 400,000 people are killed. Strange, though, after that big battle, Darlene, nobody's ever been able to find any artifacts. There's none. And not only that, they claim while they're here in the New World, they see horses, there is steel, sheep, wheat. They name all these anachronistic things that could not have been here. They claim they build Solomon's temple, make a replica of it, and it's destroyed. Now, can you imagine? I don't know how many people were in those little submarine barges. Anyway, we'll let that go. How many people get the drift? Now, Joseph Smith's death and all that, I've had to do research on that. And sometime, if you'd like, well, we'll go through that. And I want you to check everything that I tell you. I don't want this to be just Con Hamlet. I want you to look. I want you to get your smartphones out. Check me out. And especially on the 26th, when we start talking about Origen. How many of y'all have ever heard of Origen or Origen, his other pronunciation? We're going to find out how a lot of beliefs that we have today, but I want to tell you one thing. We have an ineffable God that we worship. We have a Savior that we worship that is real. He's not this. He doesn't have to look through a seer stone. He doesn't say, and the angel come a-running. He's real. The lesson that Rusty had today was a good lesson. Jesus is real. And these prophets, I've told you before, Jeremiah said, let me just read you what Jeremiah said. Let's do that, and then I'll go ahead and not use the podium as much. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, if you'll go there, I don't have my glasses on today. I'm going to start in verse 3. Verse 3, 23, verse 3. I will gather the rest of my people. He's talking about the Israelites. I will gather the rest of my people from the countries where I have scattered them. All those Israelites. George. And I will bring them back to their homeland. They will have many children, increase in number like modern day Israel. Did you know that Israel became a country in one day, just like the Bible says? Did you know the prophet Zephaniah said they would speak their language again? What is the only country in the whole world that has been revived that speaks their native language? There's only one, and it is what country? Israel. They speak Hebrew. Just like the Bible said. It's not that, George. It's not Joseph Smith and men named Lehi and Nephi and all that. Now, Joseph Smith said that these two groups died and the white-skinned people all were killed. And the last surviving member of the Lehi family or the Nephi family was named Mormon. And he writes it on these gold tablets, which he gives, and in his dying state, gives to his son, Moroni. And Moroni hides it, and both of them become angels. A lot of difference, isn't there, between Jeremiah predicting about Israelites coming from everywhere, the prophets prophesying they'd speak Hebrew again, they are. How that Israel has fought, Steve, since 1948, 20 wars, 8 undeclared and 12 undeclared. And guess how many of the Israelites have won? All of them. You know the 6 days war? Check that out sometime. You want to know a miracle? If you say, are there still modern day miracles? Look up the 6 days war that happened in 1967 on YouTube. You had Egypt. You had Syria. And you had Jordan. They were going to attack Israel and destroy it. Nasser said, we're going to have breakfast in Tel Aviv. It sure didn't work out that way. Well, anyway, I'm running short of time, but let me do this. I wanted to tell you more about Jeremiah. I love the prophet Jeremiah. Real quickly, as we get ready for lunch, things to take with you. And one more thing with you when you do go to lunch today, treat your server nice. You know, I was talking to a girl who works over at Sidelines Restaurant. It's kind of a local thing over in Cheatham County area. And her name was Sierra. She was telling me, she said, I was asking her, I said, you know, she was talking about she met nice people, but she met some real rough ones too. And I said, who are some of your rougher people? And she said, the church crowd. Isn't that something? God made us small, but we don't have to make ourselves smaller, do we? Let's be nice to someone today, and let's be kind. Let's show them that we really do. We are who we say we are. Real quickly, before we dismiss, Jeremiah. He was a Levite. He's not really technically Jewish. He could not go to a funeral. Jeremiah 16:5. He could not go to a funeral. He was forbidden to marry. He couldn't marry. I mean, you know that'd have to be rough. I mean, you know, without being overly forward, I mean, isn't that you want to spend your life with someone? To be your best friend? And he doesn't have that. He's forbidden to go to a wedding, Darlene, 16 verses 1 and 2. Now, real quickly, to show that he's not like Joseph Smith. And I got more to tell you about Joseph Smith. I'm just running out of time. Oh, I got a lot more to tell you about Joseph Smith. But Jeremiah predicted the 70-year captivity. And you know it turned out that way. And the YouTube people always get excited. They always frustrate me. There was this one guy. Oh, well, anyway, it seems like all of them on YouTube who are against the Bible, atheist, agnostic, seem like all of them are, the generic name is named Kevin. Seem like they all wear turtleneck sweaters. They're usually overweight, live in their mom's basement, have a bad overbite. And they always, here's this guy, and he says, you know, he said, I found a contradiction in the Bible, shows you it's no different than anything else. Said, Jeremiah said that King Zedekiah would be taken to Babylon. He said, Ezekiel says he would never see Babylon. You know what happened to Zedekiah? Zedekiah, they captured him, put his sons in front of him, and I'm not going to describe what they did to his sons in front of his eyes. Then they blinded him with a burning hot rod, put it in each eye. They took him to Babylon, but he died on the way. So Jeremiah was right, and Ezekiel was right. But the little guy named Kevin with a turtleneck sweater, you know, it takes more effort not to believe in God than to believe in God. That's all there is to it. Anyway, Jeremiah was a Levite. He was born in the city of Anathoth. And he's got a nice childhood, you know. A Levite had a pretty good life. You got tax money to live on. You couldn't own anything. Well, you could own a house or a dwelling, but you could not. They didn't have, you know, tribal land. Is that what you make? You know, they're like where Manasseh lived and Ephraim and all that. No, they didn't have that. They lived with this village. A beautiful place, real close to the Dead Sea. And they live 4 miles from Jerusalem. And if I had time, I would draw where the wilderness was, where Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days. My friends, it's been so nice to be with you today. I hope I didn't bore you. I hope that you'll come back on the 26th when we're going to tackle some hard stuff. And I want your questions. Because you know what? I grew up just like you. I'm still a member of the Church of Christ. I'm not Jewish. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm certainly not a Mormon. But I'm also a person who believes that people are burned up in hell. I believe the feet of the righteous will walk upon the ashes. I believe in eternal punishment, not eternal punishing. I believe that when you're burned up, that's the second death. There's no resurrection. That's the second death talked about in the Bible. Not that you're away from God like some of our ministers try to explain it. I believe that heaven is here on earth. I believe that more people will be saved than lost. And I think every single one of you in here will be resurrected to eternal life. But until then, thank you for being here today and thank you for being my friend.